The following podcast is from the weekly message at Summit Church in Upstate South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
Thanks for leading us. So good to hear everyone singing this evening. I was thinking about it, Brando. I know you got to go. You don't have to stay up there the whole time.
Okay.
We've never done a Christmas cantata. We've never pulled off a full-blown Christmas cantata. We've never done that.
That sounds like a challenge, though.
No. Here, you know what else we haven't done here? I think maybe they've tried it at some other campuses, but we've never done like a candle lighting service before. Because some of you with your small children, that with fire, I don't know, it doesn't seem stress-free. It seems very stressful to light a candle and hold your children, right? Yeah. All of that.
Yes. But we will have like 5 people will be holding those during the next set, and it's going to be really good. Those candles, we'll just pass
what
them
you're
out.
You're going to do. It's fantastic.
And if you have one, you get a prize.
Bye. Okay, good. Jared, go ahead and turn his mic off. Thanks. We love Christmas. I love Christmas. Maybe that's a given. The quality family time, the delicious food that only gets made this time of year. My wife makes this homemade, it's Chex Mix, but it's the Malone Wishart twist on Chex Mix that has a fabulous smell, and it only gets made during the month of December through the New Year. It's the only time she really, because it takes a lot of time and energy and love. And so that's the only time that gets made, and it's just when you walk in the house, when I come home from the office or whatever, and I smell it, it's like, it just coincides in my brain with Christmas time. Maybe other unique traditions that each family might have. I love giving gifts to those that I love. I'm not ashamed to say it. I also like receiving some things. That's not all bad. Like, that's not a bad thing. Anybody else? I know that it's more blessed. I get it, right? I'm more blessed to give and receive. And so I like giving things, but also when you get something, that's kind of nice. Most of the time we really love what someone gave us, and then other times we might not say it out loud, but in our mind it's like, whew, it's really the thought that counts. I've always delivered really great gifts, but I've been in some situations around family members when I was like, wow, that was not a good idea. We can probably all recount some of the favorite things that we've given others and things that we've received. I still remember vividly my very first dirt bike that my dad gave me. I remember the first, and I should say only, go-kart that my dad gave me. We drove Moore, South Carolina back in the day. Some of you may be from Moore. Before it was, you know, built up, it was just all pastures. And I had a great-grandpa by the name of Papa Out Where the Cows Are. Like, that was his whole title. Context. I had a Papa AC. That stands for Andrew Calhoun. That was my dad's dad. And then I had a Papa West. That was my mom's dad. And then my great-grandfather, we just called him, when I say just called him, he was Papa Out Where the Cows Are. That means that he owned a whole lot of land. He owned like 80 acres, and he had a lot of cows, but on that land with a lot of cows meant I had a lot of area to ride my go-kart that my dad got for me and my brother. Also out there, I remember using it quite a bit. It was my first BB gun. Like, these are all things that I vividly remember. I can think of thoughtful gifts that people gave me that weren't related to me. I don't remember, like, do you remember some of those first times that someone actually bought you something and they're not family, so you're not exactly sure maybe why? That's like, well, this is very impressive that you're getting me something and we're not even related. I remember that. I remember gifts that I've given to my wife and to my kids that have been a total surprise to them and their excitement and joy. The older I get, the more I've noticed that certain gifts stick out to me. What I mean is, what I often appreciate most is gifts that have a special meaning behind them. I've come to a place, and many of you got there long before I did, where I realize now that the gift of time with someone is one of the most precious things that you can have. My birthday was just 2 weeks ago, tomorrow, as a matter of fact, it was 2 weeks ago. And so I was one of those kids who grew up, and here's your birthday Christmas present. And a lot of cons there, not many pros. And I don't know if any other December birthdays, any of you? That's right, I feel your pain. I know what you're going through. Anyway, no parties. No one's coming. They got other things. They can't come. My parents pulled off one surprise birthday party for me in my entire life. It was in January. It wasn't even my birthday month. Anyway, it's beside the point. They did a fantastic job with that one. It counted. Yeah, for sure. And so my grandma, my Nana, always makes a chocolate pie for me. And this past year, I got my annual birthday Christmas chocolate pie. And my grandma's 90 now. And I'm at that age, again, some of you got there before me. I'm at that age now where I take the pie and I'm super thankful for the pie. And then you kind of wonder, will this be the last pie that you get from your grandma? And you know other people have the recipe and they can make the pie. And you know that it'll taste good when they make the pie. But you also have come to realize that actually what makes that pie taste so good is that she's the one that made it and thought of you to make it. Yeah, okay. I'm not the only one. Right. I love it, and I think about it often when people give something that is really needed. Like, it sticks out to me when someone gives me something that I needed. Maybe I needed it, and just I hadn't gotten around to getting it yet. Oftentimes, many times, I needed it, and I just wasn't going to get it myself. Gifts that meet a need are often special to us. One, we love to give them. I've kind of been bragging on the people of Summit lately because we kind of pulled our resources together and close to 400 people received Christmas because of the generosity of the people of Summit Church. And those people that gave to meet those needs, like those people would not, like what I know enough about the story is they wouldn't have had Christmas. So it was like, and some of the stuff that was given was like practical needs. And I think most of you, if not all of you who gave to that, probably did it from a place of, I love being able to do this. Like, no one was forcing you to do it. I love being able to meet a need and give something to someone that they can actually use, right? Gifts that meet a need are often special to us. Love to give them, love to get them. What I love about what we celebrate at Christmas as followers of Jesus is that it is a reminder of what we have needed. And to regularly remember and think about our greatest need and the solution to that great need is really an important and beneficial and necessary thing. Now, this will sound overly simplistic, but allow me to say it. We need Jesus. We need a Savior. He's a gift, all right? But in the receiving the gift that is in Him, that is Him, we are making quite the admission. We're saying that we actually have quite the need. And to the degree that we acknowledge our desperate need is to the degree that we appreciate and are overwhelmed by the gift. The song that Grayson and Brandon just sang, Born to Die, just the lyrics again, I got them here on the screen for you, this line. We came here today to celebrate His birth, but let us not forget why Jesus came to earth. He was born to die. Why? Because we have a need, and He is the gift that meets that need. And to those of us who have truly seen our need, the gift of Jesus has profoundly changed and shaped and given purpose and meaning and resolve to our lives. We find ourselves in this season of Advent, a time of year when the church has historically focused on the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh as a child. The word Advent, we've been going over the last couple of weeks, it means coming or arrival. And it is a time not only to celebrate His first coming, but also to anticipate. And Grayson was just talking about it. We were singing about it. Celebrate His coming again. And over the past several weeks on Sunday mornings, we've been studying through some passages in Isaiah where God has revealed what Christ's coming would mean for the world, an unbelievable gift to a world in desperate need. So 700 years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the prophet Isaiah was given a series of visions of what God's promised servant would be like, what He would ultimately accomplish. These compelling visions and words from Isaiah were meant to incite and strengthen their hope and their joy and their peace as they anticipated the arrival of Jesus. And guess what? December 24th, 2019, these same words from the prophet Isaiah strengthen our hope in the midst of uncertainty. They offer joy no matter our current circumstances. They bring peace in the midst of a chaotic world as we now anticipate His return for us. One of the things we have desired to remind you of over the past several weeks is that Jesus delivers those words of hope and peace and joy because He is those words. He is hope. He is peace. He is joy. And the fourth word that often is discussed each Advent season, I'll talk about briefly tonight, and it is the word love. He is love. And I want to tell you a bit more about the gift that shows he is love. These words from Isaiah 53 on the screen behind me. For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Verse 4 says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we're healed. These popular words for some of you maybe that have grown up in or around the church from the prophet Isaiah are about a servant who will suffer, but his suffering will lead to his exaltation as he does the will of God. It's a prophetic word about Jesus Christ. The gift sent to us because of our desperate need. So, yeah, you can read the incredible stories from the Gospels about the birth of Jesus. Here's a snippet, right, that you hear maybe at Christmas Eve services often, or this time of year, maybe your family gets together and reads some of these. Matthew 1, verses 20 through 23. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Or Luke chapter 2, it says, and in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Or John 1, which Dan already read some of tonight, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. So Matthew and Luke and John, they're telling us what? They're telling us this. He arrived with a purpose. Matthew said, he will save his people from their sins. Luke said, for unto you is born this day a Savior. John said, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become the children of God. And in some ways it sounds so, you read this, it sounds so superheroish, doesn't it? But look at how Isaiah talks about Jesus. Look back at verse 2 of Isaiah 53 and read what it says there. There is nothing in his appearance that would draw a crowd or a following. Nothing. What does this tell you? It tells you that all the caricatures that you grew up with of the really handsome Jesus with the purple sash are way off. He will come from David's line. The imagery of a root out of dry ground is in from a place that you would not expect a large plant to grow. He will experience grief and pain, and being rejected and despised by people. And then when you get to the overwhelming large price of the gift, Jesus was willingly despised. And he knew he would be rejected, and he knew that he would be hated, and he knew that people would be violent towards him, but not just hated and violent towards him. He knew that he would be crushed, and he knew that he would be pierced to the point of death. He knew, and he still came. Willfully, obediently came. What's that about? Love. I'm going to be born to die. And the reason this is so overwhelmingly beautiful, if you continue to look at Isaiah 53, is because of what you read in verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Who? All. How many? Everyone. Me? Me. You? You. Everyone has gone astray and turned to do life their own way. Like, that is a great definition. Like, that's the essence of sin, going your own way instead of God's way. And I'm not going to spend a ton of time on the imagery of sheep, but it is a well-chosen description for the children of Israel back in Isaiah's day and for us today, because sheep travel in packs, they follow mindlessly, and they aren't known for being all that sharp. And I think this is where, honestly, as I think about Christmas and I think about Christmas Eve and I think about the opportunity to get in a room like this and have a little bit of a conversation, I think this is where the challenge lies for so many people. They spend their days attempting to convince themselves that they really aren't that needy. That they're doing pretty well, all the while denying the obvious and missing out on the overwhelming beauty of the gift. And then there's others, I think, that they know they're needy, but they think that they're so needy that the gift could never actually make up for their neediness, and so they attempt to pay their own way for their neediness. And just a minute, can I just want to speak to both for just a moment. If you're here this evening, or maybe you have friends or family, I'm not sure, if you're tempted to think that you aren't that needy, then all this is a time to come together, is sweet. We got out some different flowers. Right? Love my family. Sing the traditional Christmas carols. Think about how great world peace would be. But then that's where it stops for you. Because you don't think that Jesus had to come to earth, and you don't think that he had to come to die. And you don't think that you really have a need. So if you don't have a need, then the gift actually won't be that overwhelmingly beautiful to you. And what happens is you spend your days attempting to justify yourself by comparing yourself to others who, from your perspective, are more needy than you are. That's how you're saying you're okay. And another way to talk about that is I have conversations with people. As you have conversations with people, maybe a conversation you're having with yourself, is your self-pride becomes your functional savior. But here's the thing. Every one of us that has ever attempted to live from the premise of self-pride giving us our worth and minimizing our neediness, we know that doesn't deliver. It might for a day, it might for a week, it might for a month. But it has let you down, and you know that you can't measure up, that no matter what you have attained, you're still empty, that no matter how many people do accept you, that you haven't been accepted enough, that no matter how many people throw you into a category, or you throw into a category that you're better than, not as needy as, you still aren't the best, and you still have needs. Because what we celebrate, actually, at this time every year, what we celebrate, honestly, at its very core, is this idea of humility, yes? The humility of a king to come to earth as a baby, for sure. But also the humility it takes to acknowledge that we aren't the kings of our own lives, and that we needed a baby to be born, to die for us. The only way you receive the gift that is Jesus Christ is from a place of humility. That's the only place, the only way that it works. I need someone that I can use as an example. I'm going to go with, I'm going to call people on the stage. People putting their heads down right now. I was going to, where'd Marilyn go, Alan? She already walked out. Is she gone? I had her in mind. I thought she would have been really great at this. All right, I'm going Brannion's over here. You've been around for a while. I don't think you'll leave the church if I call you up on stage. Come on. Come up here. Danny. Come on. And your wife. I need both of you. Oh, do you hate this? Is this the worst for you? I should have gotten clearance. You don't have to say anything. Just come stand right here. Now, this is to my point. I hope this makes a little bit of a point. I don't know. Yeah. Don't stand up higher than your wife. You get down there. That's perfect. That's perfect right there. All right, so let's pretend like Christmas morning at the Brannion house, which I'm sure is a lot of fun. Isn't it fun, girls? Don't you have the best of times? What time will y'all be getting up tomorrow? 6, 7, 8? You're old enough now you sleep in. My daughters are sleeping in, and it is glorious. Last Christmas, I got like 3 cups of coffee in before they ever came down the steps. That is the way. I feel like we've arrived. What time will y'all start tomorrow? There's some little ones, too. Sorry, so prettier. Okay. So I'm going to give this to you. And now this, now just imagine tomorrow morning that this is a gift that you're going to give to your husband. All right, this whole idea of humility kind of thing. All right, so here's a gift for you. I want you, this is from your wife to you. I want you to go ahead and open it up. Show everybody what it is. Show everybody what we got in there. Just, it's not going to get you. Oh, yeah. Now, turn it around so everybody can see. Turn it around so they can see it. Yeah. Right? Big bottle of Listerine. Right on. How would you feel if this was the gift that was, hey, honey, I love you. I got you something. You really need it. Does it take a sense of humility to receive that from your bride? Sure it does. All right, that's all I got. I want you to keep it. $7. It's fine. No, just keep it. Just keep it. Keep it. Yeah. Think of the humility it takes to receive a gift and go, Sax, babe, it's really bad, so I got you this. Right? Has there ever been anything given to you or me that makes us acknowledge our pride and repent of it and embrace what has been given to us more than saying, I need a Savior. I need a Savior. I can't pay my own way. I can't meet my own needs. I have a desperate, deep need. How many sheep have gone astray? Every single one. How many have gone their own way? Every single person. I think there are some others, depending on your background and how you were raised and the experience that you've gone through, which is legit. You're tempted to think that you can make up for your own neediness. So it's not when you hear someone talk about you have a desperate need that can only be met in Jesus Christ. You don't necessarily argue with the desperate need part. You're just convinced that you can dig yourself out of the hole yourself. Because what you admit is, well, if I put myself there, then I got to pull myself up by the bootstraps and get out of there. And I just want to encourage you with something similar to those who think that they're not all that needy. You'll never do enough to earn your way out of your neediness. Tim Keller, a pastor in New York City, is known for this quote, which I love. Christmas is telling us that we could never get to heaven on our own. God had to come to us. That's what Christmas is. Christmas is telling us that we could never get to heaven on our own, that God had to come to us. Because the fact of the matter is this, if you could do enough good, we don't need what we're celebrating right now. If you and I could do enough to get us out of our neediness, he didn't need to come, and he didn't need to die. He did not need to be the gift that we celebrate and sing of and order our entire life around. But we can't, and so he did. Look back at verse 7 of Isaiah 53. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter and like a sheep before its shearers is silent, he opened not his mouth. The end of verse 12 says, because he poured out his soul to death, and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. A gift that meets our deepest need. One of the things that we do often here on Christmas Eve is take communion together. Before we do, I want to acknowledge that I know there are others here this evening, and what you would say is, I know of my need, and Jesus has met me, and I'm following him. And you don't desire to attempt to make up for your neediness on your own. I just want to say two words of encouragement, I hope, to you this evening. One would be this. I want to encourage you as a pastor and friend to continue to fall in love with him. One of the things that I love about reading through the scriptures is observing how people interacted with Jesus and how Jesus interacted with people. And one of the things you'll notice is that Jesus always incited some sort of response from those he interacted with, right? So some were quite pessimistic towards him, and some did not believe him, and some were angry at him, and others flat out hated him. And then there were others who believed him, and there were others who knelt before him, and there were others that followed him and loved him. And if you sit here today with your neediness met in Jesus Christ, I just want to encourage you to continue to fall in love with him. Resist the temptation just to be okay with him. Because I feel like in our cultural moment, that's what a lot of people want to do with Jesus. They just want to kind of like him okay. I want to keep him in my pocket for when I need him. And that's not how it works, obviously. And then I would also say to you, if that's you and you've met Jesus, I would encourage you to continue to serve him with your life. If what we celebrate this time each year is true, that the God of the universe broke into our world as a baby, walked through life as the scriptures say, was hated, despised, rejected, acquainted with grief, pierced and crushed, died yet rose again. If that is true, then you can trust him with whatever you're walking through. He gets it. You can serve him with this life that he has given you because he has shown you the depth of his love for you. I'll ask the band to come back up and our deacons to take their places as we get ready to pass communion. We're going to sing a few more songs together this evening. A couple of things. If you're here, I know we have many guests with us tonight. So thankful that you've joined us. If you're a guest here tonight and you have a relationship with the God of the universe through his son, Jesus Christ, you are welcome to partake in communion with us. When the deacons pass the plates in just a moment, the juice and the cracker are double stacked in two cups. So when you lift out, take both of them. And at any point in time over the next couple of songs, two songs, Grayson, three, however many you're doing here, the next couple of songs, we just invite you in your seat to spend some time in prayer, reflection, and then partake in communion there in your seat whenever you're ready. Okay, we do that? Let me pray for us. Father God, I'm thankful for this evening, the opportunity to once again contemplate the gift that you are. To not say flippantly or without thought that you have met our deepest need in and through Jesus Christ. That as we look forward to what is such for so many, a happy, loving, joyous, peaceful holiday, that we have the opportunity to remember that you were born to die. In Jesus' sweet name we pray and ask these things. Amen.
For this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. For more information about Summit Upstate and other available resources, check out our website at summitupstate.org.